All right, on the line, I've got none other than, I've spoken about this and I've spoken about her, Dr. Vanessa Mitchell, a PhD in sports science, talking to us about Robben Island. Our mindset is so synonymous with Robben Island being, it's a prison, it's heartbreaking, it is a lot of hard work on there, but sport played a massive, huge role at the Robben Island. Good. So, on the line, good morning, Dr. Vanessa Mitchell. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you, Sahil. I'm good. I see you guys are having fun there in the studio.
Yes. We've been talking about movies. We've been talking about new movies coming out. Chris Brown kissing a woman on stage and her husband now fighting for divorce. All the drama in the entertainment industry, you know, it becomes such a slip sometimes, but and we forget about things that's actually really happening within our facility, in our areas, in our region, and also good things which happen. So I'm going to kick immediately off. We often associate the Robben Island with hardship. What surprised me and most is I would like to ask you, what surprised you most when you discovered how important sport actually really was for prisoners there?
Yes, thank you, sir. And you know, prisoners were human, you know, and we often put them on a pedestal and think they are not human, but they are human, and they wanted to have fun and wanted to listen to music and do cultural things. So this is what happened on Robben Island. And in spite of it being a place of hardship and pain and suffering, prisoners, you know, took the fight against apartheid from outside of prison into prison. So the sport didn't actually start out as a request for sport. It was, in a session in prison, period of times, prisoners, there was a weekly thing called Plachters en Versoeke.
Okay.
Where prisoners could then air their views, make klachters against the warders and versoek and ask for certain things. So what they asked for were better conditions, and including those better conditions was the right to play sport and the right for recreation and exercise. So they requested for this exercise, and lo and behold, the warders gave them exercise, and the exercise was pushing a wheelbarrow around the courtyard, wasn't really exercise. So prisoners realized that they needed to be very specific in what they asked for. So they asked for the right to play sport. And what surprised me and obviously the prisoners themselves was the extent to which the sport wasn't merely a pastime, but a deeply, deeply structured and valued part of daily life. So it was in this environment of deprivation and control where prisoners used sport to carve out the space where they could experience some kind of normality, normalcy, dignity, and even fun and enjoyment. And this is also another thing that surprised me, so that despite this hardships, prisoners had fun. And many of them say that their period on the island was the best, or gave them the best experience of what life was, because they were in a prison with people other than themselves. So sport had that kind of unifying nature.
Would you say that, especially with Robben Island and the prisoners standing up for themselves and requesting that to get the sports happening, it actually built onto what's happening now in prisons with sports being also included? I've seen some prison leagues as well. And what actually also surprised me with the Robben Island thing is they created leagues for themselves, rules, elections. Now, would you say that they were basically practicing democracy long before freedom actually came?
Yes, of course, I would argue that. And the establishment of these formal leagues and codified rules, because they were rules, they followed the rules. They followed FIFA rules, you know, FIFA, soccer, the World Cup year, this year. So some the International Red Cross donated a lot of books to the prisoners over the years. So amongst this donation was a FIFA rule book. And prisoners then, despite being fighting against apartheid, which separated prisoners, which separated people, and you all know the story of apartheid, where mm-hmm. coloured and black, so-called coloured and black people were not allowed to represent South Africa. Prisoners inside the prison followed FIFA rules, an organisation, a world organisation. So these rules and codified rules and these committees reflected more than just organisational efficiency. Mm-hmm. You know, it demonstrated a commitment to democratic principles. And the structures that they built mirrored those broader political beliefs and allowed prisoners to kind of almost rehearse a governance structure, accountability, and collective decision. Mm. So in many ways, this bodies on the sporting bodies on the island in prison, which was the Makana Football Association, there was the volleyball, soccer, rugby, all these kinds of sporting bodies became the microcosms of the society that prisoners envisioned for South Africa when they were in prison. But I might just add that, you know, prisoners didn't learn skills on the island. They were activists before they were brought to the island. So they had these organizing skills already. So what happened on the island was an enhancement of these skills that they already came into the
We spoke about it earlier when I mentioned we're going to be chatting to you about especially our political prisoners being outside and they were taken to prison, about them actually going when they were there and getting into these leagues, into rules, into elections, just sharpening these skills up. So would you say your research shows that sport helped bridge political and generational divides? Would you say that South Africa taught this basically the rules you mentioned? It taught them just bigger, better structures. Can you say? What can South Africans today say or learn from it?
Look, I think one of the most important lessons from my research and from the sport on the island is the power of shared purpose. There was a shared goal, a shared goal that they were fighting for. So on the island, prisoners were from different political organizations, they were from different age groups, but they found common ground through this organization of the sport. And I must just add and emphasize that prisoners organized it themselves. It was self-organized. There was no assistance from the warders except for formal stuff, but everything else was organized by the by prisoners themselves. So this, it fostered this, you know, this mutual respect and collaboration in a way that transcended these ideological differences, the generational differences. But I think for today, you know, this speaks to an importance of creating inclusive spaces where dialogue and connection can occur organically. And sport and other collective activities, music, you spoke about music earlier on, and dance and so on, can still play a role in healing divisions and building society. But I must say, when we reflect on South Africa today, the contrast is still stark. So while we have democratic principles, the application of sport is far from democratic.
As a person,
you know, coming, I mean, sport is in my blood. My family played sport. I played sport. And we've experienced in our communities this stark lack of resources, you know, so access to facilities, equipment, programs, particularly in our rural communities and in our communities in the Cape Flats, for example. So community sport, unfortunately for me, has effectively collapsed, and it leaves young people without safe and constructive spaces for engagement. But I do see our government trying to include some spaces. I know in Manenberg and in Mitchell's Plain, you know, they putting up all these combi courts, which is great, you know. But I think at the same time, you know, sport has become so increasingly commercialized monetized. And it often places us, you know, those of us, placing us out of reach for those who need it most. But I think what the island teaches us that sport at its core, the core of this thing called sport, it should be inclusive, it should be community driven, because that's what the prisoners were. They were a community of prisoners. Mm-hmm. And it must become accessible, be accessible to them. So reclaiming that ethos, that spirit, I think is essential for sport to be meaningful and to contribute to healing divisions and rebuilding social cohesion in South Africa today.
Well, if you just joined us now, Dr. Vanessa Williams, Mitchell, Williams, I'm thinking about the song, Vanessa Williams song now. Dr. Vanessa Mitchell on the line.
And the beauty queen, thank you for that.
Dr. Vanessa Mitchell online, but she's got a PhD in sports science with Stellenbosch University with us on the line, talking about sports and Robben Island. Now, before I let you go, I just want to, I know we've spoken about this, you've given a lot to us now. But for that person now, that's like, okay, I need to get something out of this. What's the biggest takeaway from your study, especially in sport? Is that sport is important, or is it just for entertainment?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the biggest takeaway for me and from my research, and you know, coming through this ranks of sport, is that sport can be a vehicle for human dignity, for resilience and transformation. And in fact, in certain circumstances, like Robben Island Museum, when it was in harsh realities and painful experiences, it can become a means of survival.
Are you there?
But while in everyday life, we may sport as entertainment, you know, we love be fun, it's a game, you know, but it has its deep value, and it lies in its ability to unite, to empower, and to reflect in the very best of what the society can be. And we see it every day. We watch the poker, everybody is happy when the poker wins, and everybody's cross when
we're losing you there now.
You know, sport can unite people, but it can also be a vehicle to divide and marginalize people, as I've mentioned previously. But I think at the core, what we want to see sport not only just as entertainment, but also that vehicle for human dignity and bringing people together.
Fantastic. Thank you, Dr. Vanessa Mitchell. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, and especially talking and educating us about sports, especially on at the Robben Island, talking about it. And, you know, it's always such a crush thing when we look at it, how certain groups react to sports, and how we...
Yes.
I would not really take away the good of sport, but we need to have a look at it. And I've got to say, our leaders that actually came from Robben Island, they were brilliant leaders, and that played also a role in it. I think we should. I think the president Cyril Ramaphosa should start a football or a rugby league within Parliament.
I think they do have a league. I know they have a netball league, because Parliament came and played netball on the island, on Robben Island, last year, November.
Oh.
So they do have league. They do have a netball league. I know they can play against staff at Robben Island.
But is it our ministers playing? Is it our ministers playing, or is it the staff that is playing?
But there was one minister. There was one minister with,
fantastic. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. Such
a pleasure,
a fruitful educational conversation, and thank you for being so fun with us as well.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
We'll chat soon. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. If you just joined us now, KC 107.7.